Hello, welcome or welcome back to the Just Eat Normally podcast for eating disorder recovery with me, Dr. Rachel Evans. I am a psychologist, hypnotherapist with a PhD in the psychology of eating and specialist training in eating disorder recovery, as well as personal experience of going through an eating disorder and coming out the other side, which makes me super passionate about what I do. And in every episode, as with my one-to-one clients, I'm bringing you academic knowledge, information, and theories, as well as therapeutic skills and personal experiences, be that mine or experiences of my guests, for a unique perspective on eating disorder recovery. So join me on this podcast as I speak to fellow experts in eating disorder recovery, eating disorder survivors with inspiring stories, and also throw in some bite-sized solo episodes with recovery tips or new ways for you to think about things. The goal of this podcast is to give you food for thought, to shift your mindset, to boost your motivation, and to help you find your own version of normal eating, which will allow you to live a truly nourished life.
Hey everyone, welcome back. I'm here today with Victoria Yates, who is an intuitive eating counselor, body image coach, who helps women make peace with food, find freedom and confidence so they can put their minds on what really matters to them instead of living with fear. She is a mum of two and one fur baby. Do you have a dog or a cat?
A dog.
A dog. Yep. I was like, oh no, there are other animals with fur.
I know.
A dog. Yeah. And you live in South Carolina,
yes,
in the US. And I also know about you that your favorite hobbies are drinking coffee with a pastry at your local coffee shop, or wine tasting with girlfriends, both of which sound absolutely lovely. Is there anything else that you want to say to introduce yourself to everyone?
I think that pretty much hits the nail on the head. I have been doing this work for the last 5 years, coaching women. I was a nurse for 4 years before leaving traditional nursing. I still think of myself as working as a nurse in the areas of more like education and empowering and advocating for people through coaching. But now I am at home with my babies. And when I'm not with them, I am coaching women on food and body image. So yeah, that's kind of a little bit about me.
Yeah. And I know, like, the smallest brief overview that you came into intuitive eating from your own personal experience of struggling with food. So I was just wondering, like, what was your relationship with food and your body like when you were growing up?
Yeah. So I would say a lot of my struggles with body image and food really started for me in about early high school, which I'm not sure, what do they call it, high school where you are too?
We call it senior school, but everyone knows what high school is like.
Okay,
we have enough American films and stuff.
Okay. So I was in early high school around ninth grade. And during that time, I think a lot of women, really, that's kind of where their food story starts, because as women, our body starts to change. And with body change, especially just with how our culture is about body change, it can be kind of like a time that feels uncomfortable. And so during that period where I was, you know, things were happening, and I kind of like went through puberty a lot faster than a lot of my friends. And I think that that was part of it, where that body change felt uncomfortable. And so I kind of sought out, you know, what can I do about that? And it really was, like, looking back, it was all about, like, I felt very out of control because my body was changing and I wanted to feel in control. That's also just, I think, part of my personality too. Like, I am a firstborn. I think there's a lot of, like, I am a little bit type A in, like, the personality. And so feeling out of control felt really uncomfortable. And I looked to food to try to feel more in control. There were also, like, during that period of my life, we were, my family was going through a lot of hard and, like, unknown circumstances. So that also played a role in, I think, me turning to food and exercise to try to feel that peace that, you know, I thought would, or what I thought would give me peace of being in control. And so what I did was I did as like anyone would do when they want to know something. I went to Google and I looked at, you know, how do I eat healthy? How do I like live a healthy life? And everything that I read online, all the blogs and articles I read were basically telling me to diet. And it's kind of crazy because I remember very distinctly when my mom actually made a comment about how I was eating and how I was exercising, and it seemed concerning and really obsessive and restrictive. And I remember I remember being so confused because the way that I was eating was really just, I thought I was just being really healthy. I thought everything I was doing was right. Like when you earlier, before we started recording, you were talking about like that person who was just like really good at controlling food, really good at dieting. Like that was me. I was like the A+ student of dieting. And yet I wouldn't have said that I was a dieter, but as we know, like dieting looks really sneaky now, the way that it is in our culture, in our world, it's like kind of put under this facade of just really healthy eating and like taking care of your body and wellness. But for me, it was like really, really damaging, really harmful, both physically and mentally. So during that time, I lost a lot of weight. I lost my period. Like there were all these signs that I wasn't physically healthy. And yet there was this disconnect because I was just so confused because I was doing everything right. So anyway, flash forward, I was in college and I had seen, like, I'd been in therapy for my relationship with food. I had seen a nutritionist and I had made some progress, but not like I needed to. And then I just kind of had this realization, actually, when I was dating my now husband, I kind of realized like my relationship with food and exercise was so all consuming where, you know, I was always thinking about what I was eating, what I was going to eat. I remember laying in bed every single night and counting up how many calories I had eaten during the day and, you know, thinking like, okay, am I going to feel good about myself because of how I ate or feel bad about myself? So anyway, I kind of realized that the way that the path that I was going with my relationship with food and exercise was going to just take over my life if I kept on this path. And I didn't want that. Like that was really when I realized I actually want to make a change and, see food in a different way. And so that's when I actually was listening to a podcast about intuitive eating, and I learned about intuitive eating, and all of a sudden everything clicked for me, which I know that's not the case for everyone, but I think also just like having my nursing background, like having that whole, the science background, intuitive eating just makes sense with how our bodies work. And so in that moment, I was like, all right, I'm going all in. I learned everything that I could about intuitive eating and really just like everything changed for my relationship with food and then exercise. And that was the moment where I too was like, I want to help other people make this change because I see that this is not just me. Like, I know I'm not the only person who struggles with this. Like this is mainstream how we're told that healthy looks like a really restrictive, obsessive diet. And we're praised like all along. I was praised as like the healthy girl, the fit girl, like people aspired to be as in control as I was. And yet I was like so unhealthy and my mental health was majorly suffering. And so anyway, that's kind of a little bit about my story and how I got into this work. I learned about, you know, there's something called an intuitive eating counselor. And I was like, I want to do that. I want to do that to just help other women to be able to make peace with food for the purpose of like making peace with food, practice being an intuitive eater, stopping dieting is so much better for our physical health. But also, I think the biggest benefit that I've found is it really just allows for more space in our minds, in our lives, for the things that really matter to us. So that's been like a really amazing benefit of just like making peace with food, and what I love helping women see and be able to make those shifts.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing. I can definitely relate. Like, I went through it at a later age. Like, I did some diets and stuff and kind of wanted to lose weight because, like you say, society or culture tells us, oh, thin ideal, there's this body shape that you should have. Or I kind of had this idea like, oh, boys will like me more if I look a certain way. But it happened for me when I was in my early 20s. So just say, if anyone's listening to this and you are older, like, Google can still be a very confusing place, yeah, and especially very conflicting. So we're recording this just after Christmas. It's probably going to go out a bit later. But when I was talking to my clients about, one of them was very interested in healthy eating, and she didn't feel comfortable eating like a certain food that would, I'll just say what it is, just because easier for the purpose of this, like a gingerbread man. She didn't want one just from the shop. And I was like, well, if you want to be involved, maybe like an interim step is make your own. But then you can look on the internet, and one like healthy recipe in inverted commas is like, don't use flour, you should use nuts. And then the other one's like, don't use nuts. And it's like, oh my gosh, it's a whole minefield, isn't it? It can take up so much mental
space. We're in this crisis of just overthinking every single food decision. It's like, it's exhausting. So yeah.
I do also think often when we are the ones who are like, I'm being super healthy, like you kind of mentioned, we don't want that outside perspective of maybe our parents or a loved one who's like, but is that really healthy? I forgot what my point was there. We don't want the outside perspective. But also when, I guess for me, reflecting on my journey, because it's just been Christmas and I was thinking like, what were some of my past Christmases like? And I was thinking about some of my behavior and I was like, that was way more than orthorexia, which is what we tend to think of as like the clean eating disorder. But I think, like you say, because people are praising you for being healthy, these other things go under the radar for so long. And I was like, actually looking back, I was a lot more ill than I even thought I was when I'm thinking about those behaviors. So there might be other people who, like you've mentioned some of them, if you're like counting calories at night, really worried about the quantities of food, I guess if your body image is affecting your self-worth, these are all kind of red flags. Is there anything you would want to add on to that, I suppose, about knowing like this isn't just healthy eating, this has gone too far almost?
Yeah, I agree. Like, even for me, I was never exactly diagnosed with an eating disorder, but it was like, looking back, I was like, man, I for sure had an eating disorder. If like, I don't even know, somewhere in between orthorexia, anorexia. But yeah, it's like, for anyone who I think is wondering, like, when has healthy eating gone too far for me? I think a big key red flag is, you know, any of those, do you feel like you think about food more than you want to? Like, do you think about health, and has it kind of creeped into areas of your life where you are saying no to going out with friends because you don't know what you can eat on the menu? Or like, do you find yourself in your head even like labeling foods as good or bad? Like, those are some big red flags that, I mean, it's like, it's so common in our culture, and all the messaging is all about like good foods and bad foods. And that is like so disordered. And yet it's not labeled as such at all. It's like, this is the healthy way to eat. And it's totally not.
Yeah. It's very black and white. I think when I'm explaining it to people as well, I'm like, it's either the anxiety or the fear or the guilt or these emotions that kind of come with, if you ate a certain food, or sometimes even if you thought about eating a certain food, you might start to get anxious about it. And then also, like you said, what is the knock-on impact of that on your relationships, on your health, all those other things? Yeah, because I'm thinking like as well, like, got to the point that here's my husband now. When he was my boyfriend, I would go to his house, and if he didn't have the right peanut butter that I wanted, I would have like a meltdown. And I just stare at the cupboard for ages, which is not helpful behavior. But then if you look on social media, it will be like, oh, choose this peanut butter, it's the best one.
Yeah.
Okay, great, if you have got a choice, but I think flexibility was the word that I'm looking for. You've got all these rules that are the black and white, the good and bad, and you can't be flexible about them. So I think we touched on intuitive eating, but we didn't explain what it is. And I guess from my perspective, intuitive eating is quite flexible, which is often what people do struggle with. And I think if I let go of all these food rules and eat intuitively, then I'm going to be out of control. What's going to happen? So I wonder if you could just explain to us in a nutshell, like, what is intuitive eating and how is it different from like dieting or diet rules and counting calories?
Yeah. So the way that I talk about intuitive eating is it's just intuitive eating itself is a framework that is going to help you to stop dieting and build trust with your body and trust with your body's cues so that you can just eat normally, like your podcast, right, is called, so that you can just eat without the guilt, the shame. Like, one thing that I have found, and I see this all the time with my clients, is, you know, we have this belief that if we don't have all of these rules around how we eat, that we would just totally lose control and we would just like eat everything and anything all the time. Like, there's just this thought in our head and it's very extreme. But the reality is our bodies really can be trusted. Our bodies naturally gravitate towards a really amazing balance of all types of foods, and we don't have to control that. And so when you get rid of the guilt, the shame, like all of the like drama that is associated with food these days, when you get rid of that and really just, I kind of think of it too as like the way that we are with food, like all of the messages and everything, it's kind of like static on the radio. So it's like all of the sound waves and like all of this noise that's really keeping you from actually being able to listen to what's going on inside of your body. So once you, through intuitive eating, you learn to get rid of all of that external noise and really be able to listen to your body, like listen to your hunger and your fullness and your satisfaction and your cravings. And all of those together are going to lead you to be able to know how to eat and eat with confidence. And I like to talk about like eating really is overcomplicated. And like intuitive eating helps you get back to this place where I believe we were all born, like our bodies know how to eat, like the way that intuitive eating teaches us to eat is really how we were born to eat, before diet culture really infiltrated everything about, you know, how we're supposed to eat, the shoulds, the shouldn'ts, all of that. So intuitive eating just helps to, it's just a way that you can learn how to eat the way that your body was made to eat.
Yeah, when you were saying that too, just that last part, I was thinking, I don't even think it's just diet culture. Like here in the UK, we have, messages from like the government about healthy eating, and we had this whole like 100 calorie snacks for children, which I don't have children yet, but maybe you know from your kids, like, or I know from like my nephews and stuff, some days they just have days when they're really hungry and eat everything, and then another day maybe they won't eat as much. And so telling them, well, you've had your 100 calories, you shouldn't be hungry now, just doesn't really makes sense. And I understand that the government have the reasons why they've done these health promotion campaigns, but actually I wonder if it's not healthy in the long term, because we're not letting people rely on their cues from a young age.
Yeah, I see this, like my son is the biggest eater and he's like not even 2 years old, and it's just funny sometimes, I'm like, how does he have that much room? But like he has just the greatest little appetite. And also he knows when he is full. Like it's really been cool to see that. And then compared to even like my daughter, she's just like different. And I think one thing that I always think back to, because sometimes I'm like, Graham, how are you eating so much? It's incredible. But then I think like, well, he knows what hunger feels like babies know from the get-go what hunger feels like. They are hungry, they cry, you feed them, like that's just how it works. And that doesn't go away. Like as they become toddlers or children, like they know what hunger feels like. I believe it's more like our influence on them. Like anytime that, like the most damaging thing I believe that you could do is with your kids is to say, no, you're not hungry right now. And just like that in and of itself is just going to bring up this question for them and this belief. It's just going to start that belief that they can't trust themselves with food. So anyway, we really do try to practice intuitive eating. I really like the work of Ellen Satter when it comes to eating for children. And I feel like that just gives some good guidelines as far as like how to approach intuitive eating with your kids. Because I mean, it is like all of the messages, like you said, from even just up to the government, like about how kids should be eating. It's very much taken away the belief that, okay, children do have the ability to trust their bodies. You know, so anyway, that's like a different tangent, but.
Yeah. I was going to ask you another question about children. And I was like, oh no, we got so sidetracked. That wasn't the beginning, but I think people do worry that they can't trust themselves. Like it sounds like in your story, you found intuitive eating, you were like, this makes so much sense. But I think sometimes it takes a long time for that penny to drop almost and for it to make sense because you're thinking, well, yeah, but all these diets like keto and God knows what all the other ones are, but they've shown me this research study that says that this is the best way to eat, almost like, how can I trust my body then?
Yeah. Well, I think I personally believe that, like, again, we don't need any specific type of diet in order to eat healthy. And I think I would just challenge that because, like, I mean, there's definitely like medical instances where keto is appropriate, but for the general public, it does like infuriate me just to hear people just or see people put out research for like the mass public saying like everybody needs to eat keto or whatever other diet. Because I mean, the way that I see it is like our health is made up of so much more than just what we eat. And we are so narrow-minded. We're just like made to believe that like our health is just this narrow aspect of just what we're eating and that like how we eat is the end all be all of our health. And it's just not true. There's so many other factors. Like there's our mental health, our emotional health, like our spiritual health, our environment. Like there's so many factors that go into us being healthy. Food is just like one little sliver of that piece to the whole picture of what makes us healthy. And so I think we always have to like with whatever we're reading from what other people are putting out there and talking about, we always have to ask ourselves like, okay, how would this affect me as a whole person? Like, I mean, I personally think I'm sure that there are people who need to be on a keto diet that wish that they could, that they didn't have to do that. Right. Cause it does like totally, it changes like other parts of your life. Like you have to be so conscious and it influences other parts of your life and health. And so I think if we can just get back to the big picture of like, what does being healthy actually mean? And we ask ourselves that, like, when do you feel your healthiest self? Like when I was doing everything quote, right. And like, I did not feel healthy. If I think back on it, like I didn't have any energy. Like I was tired all the time. Like my hair was really thin. And, I was like constantly stressed and anxious. Like obviously my body, like my hormones, like my normal, like female hormones shut down because like they were prioritizing other like more necessary functions in my body. Like that is not healthy. And so I think we always have to think back to that. Like what makes someone healthy? What makes me feel healthy? And consider that. And I think a restrictive diet, any restrictive diet really, really takes away from our quality of life as a whole.
Yeah, I think it's a good point you said about like, what is healthy for me? Because it's going to be different for everyone, which let's not go into that because I always end up going down that route on the podcast as well. But like everyone is so different. Like I was just thinking when I kept struggling, but I didn't think I was at the time. On paper, it's like, oh, Rachel looks really healthy. She gets up, she works out. But I was like making myself get up early. I was making myself work out, even when I didn't want to. Like, do you know when you're in that stage that you find every possible way around? Like, if you're on holiday, you're like, oh, I'll do it on the balcony, or like, it just wasn't
Yes.
actually making me happy. It was making me avoid being more anxious, but it wasn't actually healthy, despite what people might think or praise us for. So I suppose it's detaching
Yeah.
those things and looking like, okay, how overall am I feeling? So I know earlier we talked a little bit about calorie counting, and I'm just wondering, like, from your experience, and then maybe we'll talk more about like specific strategies and things. I guess, how did you stop counting calories? Because it sounded like that was a big part of like the eating disorder or disordered eating for you.
I would say, I think the calorie counting just kind of like slowly went away as I started to really just put my focus on honoring my hunger and my fullness. And I think what kind of clicked with me was just kind of like just remembering that, okay, my body is giving me this signal of hunger. Like, why? I was kind of thinking, like, why would my body give me this signal if it was not true? So I started to just like honor that anytime I felt hungry, just honoring that and seeing calories. I started to just think of calories differently as just energy, right? So, like, I started to just think more about like what foods are going to give me the energy that I need right now. So, I just became more aware really of like how hungry I was, and also thinking about like when's the next time I am going to want to eat, and like what's a food that is going to make the most sense right now and be the most satisfying. Like, I don't know if this is maybe helpful, but for like an example, like if I ate breakfast and then like an hour later, it's maybe like, I don't know, 8 o'clock, and for some reason, I'm like really hungry, like thinking about having maybe a higher calorie food as a snack, because I know that there's going to be a couple hours before I'm going to actually want lunch and like a full meal. Like, I would think about things like that when I'm thinking about what to eat. So calories just like became, instead of being this thing that I was really afraid of and like having this mindset of like the least amount of calories possible is like what I need. It's so interesting. I was literally just thinking about this because we were watching this show, and they Shark Tank, if anybody watches Shark Tank, but they like always talk about like with the food items, they talk about like lower calories matters, and it just infuriates me. It makes me so upset because I'm like, there's so much more that goes into food. But I started to just think about like, okay, calories are literally just energy for my body, and they're a good thing. Like, I just started to reframe how I thought about them, and I started to think about calories as like a good thing and something that could actually help me to be more satisfied. Like, I started to realize like, oh, if I'm like really hungry, eating like a really low calorie frozen meal is not going to satisfy me compared to something that is more high calorie and really, really satisfying. Like, I feel so much better. I'm not always thinking about food afterwards. I'm able to actually like, I think about satisfaction as like I'm able to push away from the table and go until my next meal and really just feel energized. And so I started to see calories as like, this is just like energy for me. And it doesn't matter how much or little, like there's a time and place for something that's a little lower calorie, and there's a time and place for something that's higher calorie. Like, calories are just neutral. They're not a bad thing. And they really are just important and energizing for our body and for me to feel good. So I think that really was a big part of the shift that I made. And I just started to think about them differently, and that totally changed. And it's funny because like, I think, I have clients who are like, when am I going to ever stop thinking about calories or like knowing the calories. And I still, in the back of my head, sometimes know like the calorie amount of foods that I counted back then. But it's like, I know that I know the calorie numbers, but it doesn't trigger me in any way, shape or form. It's just information. It's just this neutral information. And so, yeah, I think it just kind of like faded with time as I got better and more confident and really just built that trust with my body and with my hunger and fullness cues.
Yeah, because sometimes I have people Instagram DM me, like message me, and they're like, I want to stop counting calories because I've realized all the negative knock-on impacts like we've talked about. But then they're like, oh, how do I do it? And I don't know, I'm going to direct them to this podcast going forward. But it's like not just one thing, like you've just said, it's a lot of little beliefs that started to shift. Like, actually, I can trust my body. Maybe if I eat this bit bigger snack now, I might just be a bit less hungry later. There's probably other beliefs like it's okay to leave food on my plate. There's all these kind of little beliefs going on in the background that maybe diet culture has had us think like, well, I should be full from that amount. And I think as well, diet culture doesn't take into account satisfaction. I think often when people worry about, if I stop counting calories, then I'm just going to go like AWOL and eat everything. But also, I think once you're tuning into what foods do I actually like, you know when your body knows when to stop. Like, yeah, if you just eat a whole bag of, like a big sharing bag of popcorn, probably not, I mean, like literally the plainest popcorn ever, not like, I love salty sweet popcorn, that's my favorite now. Or like a whole bag of carrots or something. Yeah, you're not going to be satisfied, you're still going to be hungry. Like, those low calorie snacks aren't here as well. I don't think I'm being coherent, but I was just thinking as well about like, used to be really scared of hummus, and it used to be like, oh, you can only have this tablespoon or what is the serving size amount, that in my diet it would be like, well, I can't go over that. Whereas actually, when you just let yourself have the hummus from the tub, your body knows, okay, I've had enough now, it's not going to be fun for me to eat that whole pot. So okay, so helping to start change those beliefs, and for you, it kind of wasn't a conscious decision to stop. It was just sort of something that happened.
With counting calories? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think it just kind of started to change as I started to embrace more of an intuitive eating approach with food. And through that, just started to trust my body. And I started to see, you know, calories are not this horrible thing. I was thinking a second ago too, about just how like our culture really, or like the messaging we get a lot of times, is that calories equal weight gain all the time. And that's just not accurate at all with how our bodies work. And it goes back to like just reframing how you think about calories, that they are energy, that they fuel our bodies, like they fuel the processes that our bodies need to be healthy. Like, calories are a really great thing. And so that's how I choose to think about them. That's how, I mean, it's been a long process to get to that place. But once I really did start to, like, you know, I was talking about trusting your body. And a question I get a lot is like, how do I actually trust my body? And I think a lot of times it really just starts with just stepping out and just believing that you can trust your body, and then starting to see a lot of the effects of, and the proof that you can trust your body. So that's where, like, as far as calories go, starting to step out and explore, like, what does it feel like to honor my hunger and honor my fullness versus counting the calories and like only eating X number of calories, starting to explore like, okay, well, how much do I want to eat right now in this situation that's going to get me to that place where I notice I'm actually full and I'm satisfied? And then starting to realize like, oh, I feel so much better when I do this, when I take this method versus counting calories, because I actually feel energized, like I'm actually working with my body versus like using a made up number that someone had of like how many calories you need every single day, as the rule. Like, that's another thing, is just, you know, at that time I had this number in my head of like, this is how many calories I need every single day. And it's like, that is, again, it's just not how our bodies work. We have like so many different things that happen biologically that are like going on in our bodies that change our needs every single day. Like we are not the same people every single day. And so it's crazy to think that we only need the same number of calories every single day, the same number of calories at every single meal, at every single snack. Like, as you were saying earlier, you know, experimenting too with like, you know, if you're super hungry for one meal and you eat until you're like even past fullness, noticing like, oh, it's not a bad thing because my next meal, I might not be as hungry. Right. And so like just another way that our bodies are really just able to guide us as to how to eat versus needing to control them through counting something like calories.
Yeah. I've kind of got two points on what you were saying. One is, I hate those posts. I used to be a person who posted them when I was doing my master's in health psychology. I thought I was helping people by being like, oh, if you eat this food, then you need to do this many minutes of running and this many minutes of cycling. And it's like, yeah, but your body does loads of other stuff every day. You don't need to do that extra because your body knows how. I'm going to say compensate, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but your body knows how to balance and juggle energy intake and energy output. And I think I see that with kids as well. Do you know, if you give them sugar and then they're running around hyperfocused.
Yeah. But like, even if you are a couch potato and you lay on the couch all day, you're still expending calories. Like your body still needs to eat too. So it's like, yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. I think my second point was like, I think I encourage people to like be curious. Because we kind of said it earlier, but when we only focus on calories, kind of forgets that maybe protein and fats are more satiating. And I've really found now, like during lockdown, I've eaten like a lot of different foods, which I don't know how to explain this in a way that doesn't still sound disordered, but it's like I cut out a lot of foods and then I just didn't bother to put some back in. Like it didn't bother me that I wasn't eating them. I didn't feel like I was missing out. I felt like my life was full enough. But then sometimes my husband would choose to eat different to me and I just couldn't be bothered to cook something separate. Cause I suppose I used to trick myself. I don't like that food. I think a lot of people do that. And then, so in my head, it was still like, oh, I don't like that food. I didn't bother to challenge it. But then I've been having those and I found off some of those. I have it and I'll be like, oh my gosh, that didn't seem a lot, but it was really filling. But diet would have told me, oh, that's a bad thing, but I'm actually really satisfied. I'm really feeling nicely full from that. I'm glad I was curious to try it. It might have been the case that I tried it. Actually, no, I don't like that. There's a reason I'm not eating it because I don't like it. But I think we've got to be curious and try that first. And I would say, I guess the times when people do feel like they go out of control and maybe they're trying to eat intuitively. I guess from my perspective, if you're in such a calorie deficit and you've been restricting for so long that actually your body needs that energy and it feels excessive because you've been used to so little. And then also another time when you don't actually trust yourself that you can have another cookie or whatever it is. And, you know, those diet rules are still there that you're saying, oh, I trust myself, but you don't believe it. And maybe you've not been working on those rules for long enough. So it's not an overnight, oh, now I know how to eat intuitively. There might be times that people do maybe feel out of control when they're trying to eat intuitively, which isn't like, we're not selling it by saying that, but I think it's good to be like honest about those situations maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. I was actually just writing a little bit about how there's, and I'm probably going to do a podcast episode about how there's like three main phases that people go through when they decide like, okay, I'm going to learn how to be an intuitive eater. There's like oftentimes this initial like honeymoon phase of permission and you're like all excited, like, okay, I'm going to let myself be free. And that's a lot of times where, you know, as you are maybe learning, you know, you're learning basically a new skill and like learning to use like essentially new muscles, air quotes, that you haven't used for a long time because you've been dieting. You've been using calories as your measure of hunger and fullness instead of your actual cues. And so you have to really, it's like learning a whole new language, learning to listen to your body. And so it does take some time. So you kind of go out of that like honeymoon phase where like everything is fine and dandy and exciting, and I'm like not dieting anymore, to this place where it's like, I've heard other people in regards to other things call this like the river of misery, where you're like in the middle of the work and it's like, man, this is like hard and I'm overeating and I don't know what I'm doing. This is where I see like, this is the benefit of having someone like a coach or a therapist or, you know, someone who can walk through that with you, because in that moment, in that river of misery, you're going to want to turn back because dieting is comfortable. Counting calories feels like it feels better. It feels safer. And your brain even is going to be like, this is uncomfortable. Get me out of this. When like, what you really want is to just kind of stick with it, keep learning. Like you said earlier, like be really curious and just use this as a time to not, like, you're going to feel like you are failing, but you're really not. Like, use that as just opportunity to learn and get curious about like, how do I like actually listen to my body? And then you'll get onto the other side and you'll be eating intuitively, and eating feels easy and just like supernatural and intuitive, you know. But I always like to say, you know, intuitive eating doesn't feel intuitive at first, like you, because it isn't to people who are so used to dieting. But as you get rid of all of the diet influence and you really get into the work of learning to trust your body, as you learn that skill, it will feel intuitive and you're never going to have to diet again, which is the greatest result ever.
Yeah, thank you for explaining that. And yeah, on the how it's helpful sometimes to have a therapist, just coach, someone to help you through. I was going to say earlier as well, on one of the points about even just like pointing out to you your successes or when things have gone well, because right. I think your brain's going to only look for the times that it didn't work.
Yeah.
Rather than like, totally. Oh, actually, maybe that didn't work 100% perfectly as I thought it was, but it's still a positive moving forward, or was having that change for you. Also, who has got the faith that this is gonna, like, you can tune into the body and it's gonna happen.
Sometimes you just need someone else to believe in you.
Yeah, and I wrote a post on this ages ago it was kind of a jokey one, like, what don't I want my clients to know? But it's like, I'm not a perfect intuitive eater. I don't think there is such thing as the perfect intuitive eater. I think sometimes when people come to intuitive eating, they think, oh, I should know exactly when I'm hungry, exactly when I'm full. But sometimes we don't. Sometimes we're like, am I feeling hungry? Maybe I'll have a snack, or let me just wait a minute and see if I am. Or maybe like, where I've had COVID, we couldn't go out to the shop, which luckily we had lots of leftover Christmas food. But also then, like, my favorite foods, we didn't have them, or just even like some yogurt to put on my breakfast cereal, which are just little bits that I've really missed. And so if I was eating intuitively, I would have wanted those items, but I didn't have them. So you kind of just have to make the best with what you've got. But also, because you've left diet culture and all those things, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
I feel like
you said, it's
struggling. It would have been a big deal for me not to have certain things for my breakfast.
Right. Well, like you said, it's all about being flexible. That's really the definition of it, is just flexibility with eating. And yeah, so that's where that is intuitive.
Yeah. Yeah. Just super quickly, backtracking, I just wanted to mention a couple of other things about the stopping counting calories. I think you gave us such a nice example that it doesn't have to be overnight. It can be like a transition, as all these other things are changing. And then sometimes people just notice, like, oh, not counting calories anymore. When did that stop? For some people, I think, I don't know if you experience this working with clients, it is like a conscious choice. They've realized how much anxiety it's causing them and they want to stop. And just to say, like, for some people, they do decide, right, overnight, I'm just not doing it. If I find myself starting, I'm just going to take myself off and do something else, like really bite the bullet, learn how to deal with feeling uncomfortable about this, but knowing it's for, you know, the greatest good overall. I've also had some clients who have just decided to track certain meals or meals on certain days and kind of cut down the frequency with which they're doing it because that feels good to them. I had a client who was like, okay, I think I'll just track my protein because she was very into going to the gym and she's like, I want to make sure I've got enough protein. So I was kind of like, okay, let's try it this week, see how it goes. Like, it's your idea. You think it's a good idea. Let's go for it. And she did that. And then she noticed that she kind of just stopped doing it because she was eating about the same amount every day anyway without trying. So just to say, there's not like, here's the perfect way to do it. You can kind of do it however feels good for you over what length of time feels good as well. Did you want to add anything on to like strategies maybe?
Yeah, as you were talking, I was just thinking about like, there are some really like, I mean, as if your goal is to stop counting calories and you are using something like a calorie tracking app or something like that, like that's a really practical step to take to like, I love what you said of even if you can't go like cold turkey, stop calorie counting, just like take one step at a time and slowly decrease that. I think that's a great idea. But with the goal of like ultimately releasing that. So, because again, it's like one of what I mentioned earlier, like one of those just extra, like the calorie tracking apps, it's like an extra noise outside of your body that's going to really prohibit you from being able to eat intuitively and trust yourself. But yeah, I don't really have much else to add about that. I think that's definitely good to point out.
Yeah, you just made me think as well. Often what people say when they stop counting calories as well is that they have so much time back because it often takes quite a long time if you have like MyFitnessPal or one of those things to like type everything in and like
get it, have time for that.
Get it down and they're like, oh, you know, I have got like 15 minutes extra in my day to even if you're just playing on your phone, but to go for a walk or do something productive. I've just thought of another idea. I should have written down like these in order, but another thing that you could do is in that time, if you always do it at a certain time of day, just plan something else in that time. Like, okay, I'm going to call my mum or whoever at that time. So you're almost distracted. I mean, it's kind of gone and then you're like, okay, it's gone. I'm going to get on with my day now. So lots of different ways. And maybe you try one for a little bit and you didn't like it and then you try another one. But just knowing, I guess, from both of our experience and our clients, it's absolutely possible to stop counting calories.
Yeah, it is possible. And you will still be okay. Like we don't need to control with counting calories. Your body really can be trusted and can lead you to a really good balance of all the foods that you enjoy and that you want to eat.
Yes, let me just say one more thing before I ask you the last question. I should have checked what episode it was, but the episode about intuitive eating with Erica Pateman, she said something that was really, really good, that intuitive eating is not just going with what your body wants every second of the day. It's also that we can bring in that gentle nutrition element and know like, okay, on paper, eating fruit and vegetables is good for us. And it's about balancing those things as well without just looking like we were talking about on paper. What I used to do looked healthy on paper, but it really wasn't because I wasn't balancing it with what does my body need. So it's kind of bringing both of those elements together. I wish we sometimes could record the video. My hands are going everywhere about bringing them. Bringing them together and having that. So super quickly, did you have any thoughts on gentle nutrition as well? Because it's not saying let's throw away everything we ever knew about nutrition. It's just let's not take that as the gold standard for our body.
Yeah, I think, you know, that is something that I think there is sometimes this disconnect with when you're talking about intuitive eating or people are talking about intuitive eating, where it's like people have this idea that it's just like, I'm going to eat whatever I want all the time, like whenever I want. And there's so many things that go into it. Like there's the practicality piece where you were talking about, like, you were at home, sick, quarantine, like you couldn't go to the grocery store. And so like, if your definition of intuitive eating was like eating the most satisfying thing every single time, like that's just not practical for us. Like sometimes we just have to eat because this is what we have on hand and we're hungry. And like, maybe we'll try to think about what would be more satisfying next time. But then also like taking into account, yeah, like I like to think about, you know, what are the foods that are going to make me feel good too, and connect with like that feel good feeling in your body. And one example that I use sometimes is when people have that question of like, can I really trust my body, or does intuitive eating, is that going to lead me to just eat like quote junk food all the time, to like use what people usually say. And what I use the example of is like, if you go on a vacation and you're gone for a week and you're eating out every single night and you're having dessert every single night, and you're enjoying that. But then like when you get home, oftentimes what happens is like naturally without even controlling it is you start to crave like healthier foods, like more nutritious foods, I should say. Like your body will naturally gravitate towards that. So I really do believe, you know, when you let your body lead, you're going to naturally, like I said, gravitate towards a balance, like, a balance of all types of foods. And I think too, like thinking about, you know, there's some common nutrition knowledge that I think everybody knows. Everybody knows that, like we know that protein is going to really help us feel like satiated and, you know, is good for muscle building and all of that. Like it's really good for our bodies, but then also carbohydrates are really good for like our brain health and just energy, like quick energy. And then fruits and veggies, like obviously we need the fiber aspect and the vitamins and minerals. Like we all know that those are some things that go into a healthy diet. Doesn't mean that every single meal has to include everything. Like, again, your body's going to lead you to those things. Like having that common knowledge, that pretty much every single person knows what it looks like to eat healthy, or like what nutritious foods are, like just add in more of those things, like just consider some of those things, but from a place of like, just experiment and look at, and really get in touch with how does that make you feel? Like for example, if I, you know, eat only a, maybe like a donut for breakfast, I might not feel super great because I don't have very much protein with it, but like pairing maybe like some eggs with it, or I don't know, or like thinking about a snack later that maybe does have some protein. Those are just some like real ways where you can kind of tie in gentle nutrition knowledge along with intuitive eating. And again, I think we overcomplicate nutrition so, so much. I am not a nutrition expert, but, I think, you know, for the general public, we overcomplicate how we need to eat. And if we really do just let our body lead, like it will, we will have a great diet. We really will.
Yeah. So last question, what would you say to someone who came to you and said, I just want to eat normally?
Ooh, I love that. I think eating normally is really just getting away from all of the external diety type influence that is keeping you from, like, I think our default really is to eat normally. And by eat normally, I see that as just having a balance of all the foods that you really enjoy, and that make you feel really good. I love that question. That is like a really, I'm like trying to define like what would eat normally be without saying just eat normally. but I think it's like just eating a balance of all the foods that you love and that make you feel really good, and just trusting your body with all of it.
Thank you for listening to the Just Eat Normally podcast. I hope you found this enjoyable, interesting, and insightful and informative. And if you did, make sure to subscribe to hear the next episode. And just remember that you can check out the show notes for contact details and extra resources.